WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive, still broadcasting in high definition, mono sound at AM 1570. You know, I was going to wear my Window Nation hat. I look kind of silly in it. I did have it on back during the beginning part of the year. It does kind of get me ready for, like, baseball season a little bit, so I am going to wear this. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour is going to be back out at State Fair in Catonsville this week. We'll have some Maryland Lottery holiday cash drops to give away, as well as our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. 0% financing. They didn't even give me that deal back in August, but they will give you that deal. 866-90-NATION. Go find them. And, Luke, I'm going to take the hat off because we're trying to have a serious segment here, and I don't need you laughing at me. Although you don't laugh when they wear those orange floppy hats all summer at the ballpark. You know what I mean? You and I did our John Angelo's turn last week. Spring training, pitchers and catchers. I don't know. You tell me how many days. That's more your thing at this point than it is my thing. But we got championship games. We got a Super Bowl. I'm going to be breaking some information here pretty soon about Radio Row and Super Bowl coverage for us here at WNST and telling some stories and playing the Wayback Machine over 28 Super Bowls in a row. Well, not in a row because I missed Tampa 2 years ago, but 26 in a row, then a plague, and then a couple, you know, then the last couple of years. But this Ravens offseason, and if you and I were going to Glendale 2 weeks from now, we're going to sit together and we would sit in front of all these media people and people from out of town. I am blown away that on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, you and I got together and we talked about this like grownups. And then on Thursday, they had a press conference, and the coach and the general manager, who have lied to me personally, professionally, on integrity, like, I know they lie. I don't think they lie. I know they lie. I have evidence in my phone, and my lacking press pass last week in Cincinnati would prove that. But how credible they are to people who want them to be credible. The press conference on Thursday, dude, I'll eat my words if on May 10th, Lamar Jackson is signed to a $282 million with $212 million guaranteed, and he's there, and they're kumbaya, and they've drafted a wide receiver, and they've made you happy on the back end, and they've, like, if that's where they are Preakness weekend, I'll eat my words. But I'm going to call that press conference, because I saw My Fair Lady last week, Luke, I'm going to call it poppycock is what I'm going to call it.
Well, they're sowing a lot of hope and optimism, which is what you have to do when, well, you're knocked out in the first round of the playoffs and your franchise quarterback is unsigned and now 2 years plus going into contract talks or lack thereof or unsuccessful negotiations at the very least. But, I mean, look, I wasn't remotely surprised by anything we heard on Thursday. And it's not even that I'm going to sit here and just say that they're, you know, over the top liars or anything like that.
No, you and I wrote that press conference. So did Dennis. We sat here and wrote it on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We said what they were going to say, and they said it. It's just amazing how credible it comes to fans who want Lamar's back. He's coming back. They're all in. They're going.
Yeah, right, right.
Sure, they are. He wasn't in Cincinnati last week.
I mean, it really does come down to, and this is what I mentioned in my 12 Ravens thoughts at BaltimorePositive.com, talking about the aftermath of the season-ending press conference. It really comes down to everyone hears what they want to hear, right? If you want to be more optimistic about it, you point out all the flattering things they said about Lamar. You point out the fact that Eric DaCosta said he had met with Lamar Jackson earlier in the day on Thursday, which, by the way, I actually think that was on the scale of meaningless and 100% meaningful. I'm not going to say it's this major development, but the fact that Lamar apparently didn't bolt first thing Monday morning and was back in Florida, and the fact that he's been around a little bit to the point where DaCosta and Harbaugh have talked to him a little bit, I think that's a good sign. Do I think that means that an extension's imminent and that everything's fine? No, of course not. So when you look at this thing again, everyone kind of hears what they want to hear. If you want to be optimistic about it, there is plenty of optimism being sold. As I wrote, if you felt markedly better about the state of the Ravens and the Lamar Jackson Ravens partnership, that just means Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh did a very good sell job on Thursday. And that's what they needed to do, by the way. Let's be very clear about this. It would not have behooved them or served them any good purpose to just air all the dirty laundry, whatever it might be, whatever the frustration level might be, because one, you're trying to potentially work out a long-term deal at some point. Two, you are at the very least going to be franchise tagging Lamar Jackson, even, you know, even if you're going to planning to keep him long term, that looks all but inevitable, barring something that hasn't happened in 2 years, which is striking a long term deal. Or even if you have no intentions of Lamar Jackson being your quarterback privately and you do truly plan to trade him at some point this offseason, you're not going to advertise that. You're not going to say that you're disenchanted with his health or the contract or any of that, right? So everything you have to do is about putting on a happy face, no matter how real or how phony it might be. So again, this goes back to individual fans, you know, even media types, you're going to kind of hear what you want to hear there. I mean, for all the positives, first thing right off the bat, Eric DaCosta was asked about, you know, the chances of getting a deal done. And what was the first thing he said? It takes two to tango. You know, how do you interpret that as opposed to, I'm really confident we're going to get a deal done. So, you know, there wasn't anything earth shattering about this. And I'm not even saying that in a critical way that they were, you know, blatant over the top lies either. It's just, it was what it is. It's where they are right now in this process. And look, I've said to you, I'm expecting anything this offseason. You know, I would not be surprised if there was a trade. I would not be surprised, certainly with the tag, which I think is the most likely outcome, at least at this point in time, because you have to see, first of all, if you're going to get a deal that you like. You're going to have to see where Lamar is on this spectrum, because any team that's trading for him is going to want a long-term deal. They're not just going to deal for him, and then they're going to be playing you know, with the tag with him. So,
and they're also going to poke his knee, too, by the way.
Well, I mean that's part of it, right? I mean, you know, wherever you fell on that scale, as far as how hurt he was, you know, that whole thing. I mean, that's part of this. That's why if the Ravens weren't willing to give him a fully guaranteed deal back in August, him missing the end of a second straight season is not going to suddenly say, oh, well, we'll give him a fully guaranteed deal. So there needs to be movement on some front at some point here, right? I mean, they can't have another offseason that is like the last two, and specifically last year. So,
well, to me, the worst part of these last two off seasons have been playoff disappointment or not making the playoffs and not having a quarterback available to play in January when I'm watching Patrick Mahomes walk around on one limb. And I'm not even talking about toughness. I'm talking about just participation.
The
just
reality
being
of it.
There. If you're not there in January, how are you going to tell me to give you $250 million? But that's all well and good because the Saints are the Dolphins. Somebody else out there salivating to have him. I don't know, as a fan of the team right now, I don't know that I'm salivating for my franchise to give him $250 million right now. And I was going to ask you, Luke, because you're out there and I'm not. They've thrown me out as well-documented. Any temperature over the last month out there? Because it's fascinating to me that the minute the season's over, the players all rush to his defense. RG3, who is also less than honest and honorable from all of the information I got out of Washington in the last 12 years. You know, he was sick. He couldn't get on the plane. Nobody at the press conference asked them what happened to Lamar. And since was he really sick? Like, I guess it's doesn't even matter 5 days later when he's not there. But it matters a lot that he didn't play football in January. And it matters a lot to John and Eric and Steve and teammates and everybody defended him out there. And that's what they're all supposed to do, because they all think coming back, and it would be in their best interest to have Lamar Jackson as their quarterback next year. There's no doubt about that. At what cost? And at what cost to the future? And then really, is Lamar Jackson going to go into Buffalo and beat the Bills in the snow Sunday? Is Lamar Jackson going to go out to Kansas City and beat Patrick Mahomes once, twice, three times in the next 5 years? Not to mention the kid out in LA. And we haven't talked about Burrow, right? Like, we have, you know, like, so is Lamar Jackson the guy that's going to beat these guys over the next five? Not 2019, Marshall Yanda,
right?
Big Truss, all of that. Where he is right now, where you are with him psychologically. And then how much money you have to give him, and then whether the kid's really happy or not, whether this is really where he wants to be. Didn't show up for OTAs, holding signs up about money, 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 internet, my feelings, ego, guy in Pennsylvania performed fellatio, like all of this baked into this now. Is he going to go beat Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow back to back to back? Is he the guy? Is he the guy to do that in January after you've run him 224 times? at 28, 29? Is he the guy? I don't know, dude. I laid a lot on you, but it's made me wonder watching these games the last 2 weeks.
Well, but that's going to be the question with whoever your quarterback's going to be. I mean, you know, all right, hypothetically, you can make a trade with the Houston Texans. You can draft Bryce Young second overall. You're going to be asking the same question about him. I mean, that's life in the AFC right now. So that part of the question, I'm not quite as concerned about from it, even though that's part of it. It certainly is, especially when you're talking about the financial commitment that's going to be involved if he's ultimately going to be your quarterback long-term.
And only the Ravens know, because he's been in their building.
So it's part of it. There's no question. You asked me what the temperature was in the building over the last month. I mean, there's a lot of frustration. And look, how much of that frustration was any sentiments that maybe he could play? And, you know, sentiment that, okay, we know he's not 100%, but is he 90? You know, you and I joked about this a little bit when I made the comment to you in jest. Well, how bad would the limp be? You know, of course, no one has suggested at any point that if Lamar Jackson's knee was so bad that he could barely walk, and, you know, you might famously remember, what was it, week 16 or week 17 last year, he went out and logged a limited practice. My understanding was that was Lamar wanting to give it a go. You know, the team, I don't think, had any.
That was the way you reported it, and we he was captured limping.
I mean, that was him
right. Having the fire to want to go win the Super Bowl.
I mean, it wasn't even some. I think it was, hey, is this even an option for me right now? And he got out there, and you could see he could barely walk. That was truly a case of, I thought it was shtick. I mean, that's how over the top the limp was, and then we didn't see him again the rest of the year. So, you know, okay, that was last year. That was a bone bruise with the ankle. You know, the idea that, you know, could he have played? Again, people are going to believe what they want to believe at this point. Nothing I'm going to say, or anything, you know, forget about me, anything the team's going to say, people are going to believe what they want to believe. It's very clear, based on reports that were, you know, information that was leaked out to and Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter. I mean, Rich Eisen's talked about this on his radio show. I mean, he had a production meeting. He called that Cleveland Saturday afternoon game on NFL Network. And that was what, week 16, I guess it was? At that point in time, you know, based on what Rich Eisen had said, that John Harbaugh and others in the organization had said, that it sounded like they thought Lamar was close to being able to play at that point, let alone talking 3 weeks later. So,
well, the
anyway,
real question is, if he had $200 million in the bank, would he have played last week?
Well, but he didn't. So, you know, and look, that's also, let's be clear, everyone always looks at this as one or the other, right? You're either hurt or you can play or you're too hurt. You know, there's a wide range in there. And Patrick Mahomes was a great example here. And I'm not trying to compare and suggest that Patrick Mahomes is tougher than Lamar Jackson. Different injuries, different circumstances, all that. You know, I mean, we've all seen individuals try to play with injuries. Sometimes it works out really well. Other times it doesn't work out really well. So there are always decisions that have to be made. There's always wiggle room. There's always subjectivity that's involved here. And that's not me sitting here trying to be wishy-washy. That's the reality of it. I mean, it really is. Some players over the years will play with injuries a little more. And some players, whether they're under contract or not, whether they're highly paid or they're on the lower scale of the salary, you know, the pecking order, they might make more of a business decision.
Dude, the NBA brings Steph Curry into buildings and says he's got load management.
Right, sure. So there's all of that. So the overall point I'm trying to make here, and I'm kind of rambling, I get that, but there's a lot of nuance here. And my goodness, the last place you're going to find nuance is where? Twitter and Facebook, which is where so much of this is going on. Or maybe ESPN morning talk shows, you know? I mean, it's just the
people that have never talked to Lamar Jackson or anybody around him, right?
Sure. So the overall temperature was, there was a lot of frustration. Now, that doesn't mean even that everyone in the building necessarily thought that Lamar definitely could play. Was there some of that? I'm sure there probably was. Based on everything that was leaked out via NFL Network and ESPN and everything over the last 4 weeks, how could there not be some sentiment, even if it was only one person? Which I'm not suggesting it was only one person. I'm sure there was plenty of that. So,
but if you were a player in that locker room and you thought that dude could play and he didn't, I can't. Yeah. There's no lack of respect that you would,
sure.
Like, literally, if you really believe that, and I saw Marlon Humphrey came to defense, Calais Campbell,
right.
And that's great. I mean, they're, you know, fine, good character, whatever. And if they can sleep on it,
then I guess the fans can sleep on it. But if you are a player or you are a coach and you're like, how many chances do we get? We talked about this with Buffalo, right? And we talked about this with Lamar in 2019. How many times are you going to have a chance to go win a game in January and have a chance to go slay a giant? And maybe Mahomes' ankle's no good. And you know, like along the way, right? I mean, Burrow almost got hurt, right? So there's moments where if you can at all do it, this is the time to do it. And he couldn't do it. He didn't do it. Now, to your point, just the fact that there is conjecture, leakage, whatever, it's damaging. It really, I mean, it's damaging to the whole thing. Really, it is.
I mean, it can be, sure. And again, this isn't me saying that was definitely there. There's frustration, though, and people on the outside had plenty of questions and wondered about it. How could there not be? I mean, so often we treat these guys like they're robots. They're not. They're human beings just like anyone else. And by the way, if you're in that locker room and you're making the league minimum, playing in the playoffs means more money, right? I mean, now it's not millions, but for that guy who's only making 750 or 800K, this year, and he's on his rookie contract, and who knows if he's even going to be on the team next year. The idea of playing two or three playoff games or getting to the Super Bowl, that's some real dough to that individual. So, again, do I know that there was frustration in terms of doubts of whether he could actually play? I don't know that, but there was frustration in general. And some of it, a lot of it's just that he just wasn't out there because he's hurt. And it might not even be that you have any thoughts that there's any, I don't even want to say shenanigans. You know, Lamar had to, you know, it's his livelihood at the end of the day. Every one of these players ultimately, and we talked about this with Ronnie Stanley at the beginning of the year in terms of, was he going to be ready week two, week three, week four? I mean, things that Harbaugh would say that would lead you to believe that maybe the team thought he might have been ready. And Ronnie says, hey, I need another week or two. Ultimately, a player knows his body best. I mean, that's just the truth. So there's so much at work there. However, the thing I will say, and this is where, you know, the players who spoke after the season ended. Look, Lamar's well-liked in that locker room. Everyone likes him. Everyone in the building likes him as a person, right? I mean, we could talk about, you know, the ill-advised tweet, you know, poor taste as far as post-game in Jacksonville. We could talk about some things like that. But by and large, he's very well-liked. That said, players are also going to be very careful in how they talk about other players from a business standpoint. You know, it's one thing to talk about someone and express some disdain if that individual's not particularly well-liked either, right? I mean, it's
well,
one
5 years from now, if, you know, much like John Ogden and Brandon Stokely sat with us at Radio Row a couple years ago and talked about Brian Billick and Trent Dilfer, 15 years later, 5 years from now, if there's a player out there that says, that dude could have played, and another player says, that dude could have played, that wouldn't shock me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not shocked by any of this, the business side of this, how Lamar is, this agent thing or lack thereof, like all of the mud around this. I mean, you and I have talked about this for a couple of weeks, that if he had representation, maybe we wouldn't be talking. He would have been on the front end of the injury early on and said, this is trouble. And someone would have been stepping up to refute, to stand in front of all the media that John Harbaugh has aligned at NFL Network and Rich Eisen and whoever his bunkies were. And maybe one day I would have been one of his bunkies and he would have said Lamar could play, or that this, you know, this isn't the way it really is, because that's the way journalism works for 30 years covering this league. But the truth will come out in the wash, and how they will feel will come out in the wash. And back to my original statement, which was, I think Thursday was poppycock, which I looked that up. It's nonsense. So I think they're doing business right now, and I think everything that Dennis and I talk about, and you and I talk about, in regard to how they're managing this enormous asset that may be unmanageable for them, and maybe they're done, and they don't want anybody to know that. They're certainly not. But if the WNST text comes through on March, the blah, 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 that they've made a move, you know, that wouldn't shock me, and I don't expect him. If I were betting right now on or against, and I guess I could do that, get my $200 free, I would take the he will play somewhere else, because I just don't think they're going to give him enough money and that he hasn't played here for 2 years. I think it's really
I think it's closer to over. It, when people are asking me, I say, I think he's gone. Now, I'm willing to chew my words again. Preakness weekend, yeah. If he's here and everything's good and he's throwing the ball and he's coming to OTAs and they have a wide receiver, all of that. I just, that's not what my crystal ball sees. And I know they've had good fortune as a franchise all these years in getting these things done. This smells different, feels different, tastes different. Not being in Cincinnati 2 weeks ago, it just feels yucky to me.
I mean, it just, for me, it comes out. And look, I don't feel that strongly about it that I'm going to say that I think he's not going to be here in 2023. But at the same time, we've had different versions of this same conversation for going on 2 years now. What's going to be different now? I mean, what's going to be different now? It's either the Ravens are going to say, all right, well, we'll give him fully guaranteed money on the heels of him missing the end of a second straight season. Take it at face value, not even speculating about whether he was healthy enough that he could have tried to give it a go or not. Like, throw that out of it. Just the facts that he didn't play, right? Second straight season, unavailable at the end of the season. So you're going to move off of your previous stance of not wanting to give him guaranteed money? Why? I mean, seriously, why would they do that at this point? Whether you agreed with their stance in August or not, why would you suddenly say that they should change if that was their stance in August? On the flip side, if you're Lamar Jackson, you're now that much closer to the end of the line. And look, he's not going to hit the open market. We all agree on that. Whether he's going to be a Baltimore Raven in 2023, he's not just going to become a free agent. I think we all understand how
I that. See these people on the internet, just, you know, the same people that sopped up every word they said Thursday and they think it's factual, also writing that, you know, he's a pending free agent. No, he's not.
Well, I mean, he is officially. I mean, he's scheduled to become a free agent, but we know he's not going to hit the open market. We know that the franchise tag window opens on, I think it's February 21st. It runs for 15 days. And then, you know, it'll be whether they place the exclusive or the non-exclusive on him. The exclusive will be upwards of 43, 44, 45. It's not set yet, $1 million. The non-exclusive, which, by the way, I think is, if you're looking at this from a strategic standpoint, and you actually still have designs on wanting to sign your franchise quarterback long term, I actually wonder if the non-exclusive would actually force some action. Would be risky. Because if someone signs them to an offer sheet and you decide not to match it, you only get two first round picks compared to whatever the hypothetical deal would be. However, if you're at an impasse, and this goes back to what I was just saying, what's different now that wasn't the case back in August or last March or the year, you know, I guess the year
before. Well, it gives him a chance to find fair market value. But the Ravens learn we don't want to match. They didn't want to match the Deshaun Watson deal.
Well, but the point at the same time, three other teams are willing to give Lamar a fully guaranteed deal. Maybe then at that point you say, well, this is going to be the cost of doing business then, because if Lamar is going to get it, Joe Burrow is going to get a fully guaranteed deal. And Justin Herbert's probably going to get a fully guaranteed deal. However, if Lamar would be able to negotiate with some other teams and finds out no other team's going to give him a fully guaranteed deal. And I don't know that for sure. Last August, I thought that would have been a yes. Now with him having missed the end of a second straight season, maybe there isn't another team. Maybe Cleveland truly was the, I don't want to say unicorn because that's a positive connotation, but maybe Cleveland truly was the only team that would do that. And we're going to find that out with Burrow and Herbert. And then at that point, the market would be pretty well set. So, but the way you look at this thing, no matter how you want to slice it, whether the Ravens right now still have genuine designs on trying to keep him long-term, whether they are more on the fence about it, which is kind of where I think they are right now in terms of, I think there's still some ideas that if you can work something out, yeah, you'd love to have Lamar Jackson because they won a lot of games with him the last 5 years as their quarterback. You know, on their terms, they want it to be, you know, that doesn't mean they're giving in to him, but they're still having those designs. But at the same time, there's probably some thoughts of what I just said. If we couldn't get it done last year, what's going to make this any different now that he's closer to free agency or closer to being on tag one and closer to being on tag two? And then at that point, you know, becoming a free agent. I mean, the longer you get down the road, it's just, what's going to change? What's going to be different suddenly now? I mean, is Lamar going to have a change of heart? Are the Ravens going to have a change of heart, or are both sides going to continue to be dug in? And at some point in time, you come to the decision that, we can't get past this impasse and something has to give here. And rather than tagging him and having a, a quarterback who's unhappy, and who knows if he's going to be here the entire spring and summer. And that's going to complicate the idea that you have a brand new OC, and you know, you're hoping to bring in another wide receiver. And is Lamar going to be there for any of the spring and summer? And the difference now compared to last year is OTAs are voluntary. This year, if we're talking about a tag situation, Lamar has no obligation to be there whatsoever if he hasn't signed his tag yet. You know, he can show up in October if he wants to. Not saying that that's the best move for him, but that would be on the table for him from a leverage standpoint. So I think they're very much in a position. My thoughts, and again, this contrasts what they said on Thursday, and they were always going to say on Thursday that they still love Lamar and they still want to keep him long term. And John Harbaugh was going to say, we're 200% committed to Lamar being our quarterback for 2023 and beyond. I mean, all those things were going to be said one way or the other. Why? Because it serves you no purpose, does you a disservice if you go out and air your dirty laundry, or you go out and say, yeah, well, we want to trade him. The moment you say you want to trade someone, their value hypothetically starts to go down a little bit. Now, it might not be a whole lot, but I mean, that's where it is for them right now. They're public, at least publicly, going to be all in on keeping him. I don't think the ship has totally sailed or anything like that. Far from it. But I keep coming back.
I don't
to the same
either.
Question.
But if I had a dollar on one side, I'm not saying he's gone. People are asking me, what do you think will happen?
Sure.
I think he will. I think they will have to deal him, because I do not think there will be a detente. And I do think that feelings have been hurt on the upper side of management. And over the last 8 months, that frustration that you talk about has moved beyond the boiling point of, we're going to let he runs the franchise already, and we've been bounced out of the playoffs like the last 2 years. Yeah. How much longer? And the style of play he plays, he's never had anything catastrophic happen injury wise. Right. Like, these have been two playoffs missed in the prime of his career. Some people may think this last one was by choice to some degree. And if there's any conjecture about any of that, they have to move on. You know, well, if they have a moment of doubt that he could have played last week, I would think there would be some feelings to say, we're just going to quietly, we had other quarterbacks before, we'll have other quarterbacks afterward. If you're Steve, yeah. If you're John, if you're Eric, he's not the first, the last, you're everything. It's unfortunate, but I think to raise his value, they're going to get a king's ransom for him if they deal him. Yeah. They're going to get a good deal on their end. Now, it's never a good deal to not have a franchise quarterback. I don't know how they're going to win games in September.
Right.
That's another story, literally. But they're going to have $50 million of cap space and draft picks, and Eric thinks he's a genius, right? Like, Eric, they all do. They believe they're geniuses at creating a football team. And if they take a lick this year, is that any different than getting bounced out of the playoffs for them and how they feel? Taking a lick? I don't know. I mean, like, they're not winning Super Bowls right now, and that's how John's going to get his plaque made out in Canton, right? I mean, they want to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. I mean, it's been 10 years now. It's been 10 years since they've been to an AFC championship game even, which is, you know, that's, you know, two playoff wins in the last 10 years. I mean, that's just the truth. Now, that covers a longer timeline than Lamar Jackson's tenure. We understand that, but yeah, I mean, your points are well taken. And I mean, I think it's the part about this that makes you take pause. If you're talking about making a trade potentially, and look, you can get as many assets as you want to get. The PR hit of trading a guy who's 3 years removed from being unanimous MVP, very popular in this fan, and as polarizing as Lamar can be within the fan base, wildly popular. Also, you know, like,
outside of the fan base, he's made people.
No question.
There are Lamar Jackson fans who are not Ravens fans.
No doubt.
Dennis and I talk about that all the time. Like, we care about the team. Lamar will get his money. It's not that I don't care about Lamar. It's just I care about the team. I'm a Ravens fan.
And you don't have to separate those two either. I mean, there's plenty of you know, if you look at the Venn diagram, there's a massive middle portion there. But you're right. I mean, there's no question. But the part about this that is so unsettling is they have won a heck of a lot of football games with Lamar Jackson as their quarterback when he's been on the field. And of course, the ends of the last two seasons have made that problematic. Putting aside the conjecture about how how injured he was at the end of the, just again, the reality of it, how many games he's missed. He's missed roughly a third of their last two seasons. Look at the number of snaps he's played relative to the total number. He's missed a third of the last two seasons. I mean, that's where we are right now. Again, that's just factual information. So, you know, you look at that, but boy, it's great to say you want to trade for picks, but if you do draft the next Kyle Bowler on the heels of trading Lamar Jackson,
John Harbaugh will be coaching the Jaguars 4 years from now. Somebody else.
You know, Harbaugh's one thing. I mean, what does that mean for Eric DaCosta? What does that mean for selling tickets? What does I mean, there's a lot.
Well, they have Lamar and they have trouble selling tickets. So let's.
Well, that's true. You're saying having trouble selling tickets now. You talk about if you trade Lamar and then you draft an absolute dud as your next quarterback. This will be a walk. What you're talking about now is a walk in the park compared to what it would be at that point. The backlash would be monumental. Look, I'm not saying that to be gloom and doom. That's where they are. These are the conversations I'm sure the Ravens, and when they go and they have their annual Bisciotti summit in Florida, you know, here in the next couple of weeks, don't know exactly when it's going to be, but it's always January, you know, when they're out of the playoffs.
My understanding is it involves iced tea and cigars.
Oh, sure. Yeah. But they're scrimmaging everything that you and I are talking about right now. And look, we're not privy to nearly as much as what they know and how they feel and what their initial plans are and you know what whether they have designs of a long-term deal or upping their offer or you know maybe they've already made up their mind that they're going to trade, but they're scrimmaging all these different scenarios because this is the kind of decision that has massive, absolutely massive ramifications for your organization one way or the other. To your point, you know, if you sign him to a long-term deal, and let's say Lamar acquiesces to some degree and they come up with a compromise and they sign him long-term, well, if he does start to wear down because some of these lower body injuries are wearing on him, and I'm not at all suggesting the catastrophic scenario, just the idea that, you know, lower body injuries for someone who relies on his mobility as he's getting older and older. And we saw this with Cam Newton, for example. You know, Cam never had a, it's not like he snapped his leg in half or anything like that. No one's suggesting that. No, anyone who's suggesting that or rooting for that, like, you know, put that aside. And not that anyone's rooting for it, but you get my point that it's just general wear and tear that I've always said that this needs to be a sliding scale, right? It's one thing to talk about him running as much as he ran his first couple years. I always thought, and I wasn't alone in this, lots of people talked about this, as he got older, it was going to have to trend a little more towards the passing side. And not that he would just stop running altogether. No one's suggesting that. That's what makes Lamar Jackson Lamar Jackson. But as he got older, it was going to be a case where he needed to be throwing the ball more, the passing game becoming a greater emphasis, and then he scales back on the running. It's always going to be there, presumably. I mean, I don't think Lamar's going to play until he's 45 like Tom Brady, where he wouldn't be able to move at all by then. But, you know, there was always an understanding that as time went on, the passing game would become more prominent for him and the running would be scaled back. Now, one thing we haven't talked about a whole lot, Greg Roman, you know, Ravens made the move. I think that everyone anticipated the early names that are out there. There has been the list of guys that have been leaked and, you know, teams or player or not players, coaches that the Ravens are seeking permission to interview. There have been, it seems like it's skewed towards passing game type guys, you know, guys that have been more, you know, better versed than Greg Roman, certainly with the passing game. So maybe that's a sign of where the Ravens are trying to pivot here, but you know, that was always going to be the case. So whether you sign Lamar Jackson long-term, it inevitably you're going to have to become a better passing offense and you're going to have to feature that more prominently because it's one thing to talk about Lamar at age 26. And let's be clear. I'm not saying that next year he's going to cut his rushing attempts in half. That's not what I'm saying. This was always a sliding scale for me that as he gets older, more emphasis then on him as a passer. And then you're gradually scaling back him as a rusher. I mean, I think that was a natural expectation to have. So that's why I think you had to make the move with Greg Roman because your passing game was backsliding. If anything, it certainly wasn't moving forward, wasn't progressing. And that wasn't just Greg Roman's fault. I blame Eric DaCosta for the wide receiver position and, you know, Lamar not being out there and Rashad Bateman getting hurt. And I mean, there are always multiple variables on why things don't work. But, you know, I think if you're the team and you're talking about signing Lamar long-term, a big part of this does have to be progressing with the passing game, because it's just too important for them to have regressed in the way that they did over the last couple of years. And, you know, Lamar, a big part of that is projecting what he's going to look like as a passer. So, you know, again, they're scrimmaging all of this, you know, whether you're talking about a long-term deal, whether you're talking about the tag and what that means for 2023, if he were to play on that, and what that means in terms of when he's going to be there, if he's going to be there, what that means for whoever you hire as your offensive coordinator. It's not an easy sell to hire an outsider to come in if they don't know if Lamar's going to be here long-term. I think that's
part. Well, I know you guys have written about this at length, yeah. But I mean, them saying that Lamar was going to have input in the offense.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Like somebody was out on the internet. I have been privately with John many times, more than I can count over the years, where John's, I hire my coaches. Sure. Steve doesn't hire my coaches. Eric doesn't hire my coaches. Ingrid doesn't hire my coaches. No one hires my coaches. I hire my coaches. Like, and John is prickly about that. You know what I mean? Like, just, right. And I know that from up close. I've seen the neck muscles get, I hire my coaches. Okay, John, I get it, you know. And the perception that Steve called him on the bus coming back on 295 and fire Cam Cameron, I mean, that was all poo-pooed upon 10 years ago. Now, again, since then, they've been less than honorable with me. But Steve hires his coaches, or excuse me, John hires his coaches. And the notion that he's going to look across the table and say, meet Lamar. Lamar, what do you think of Cam? What do you think of Jim Zorn? What do you think of whomever? That's not, he didn't care what Flacco thought. And Flacco had a check.
Right. And for me, what that actually means in reality is I think they'll keep him in the loop in terms of like who they're talking to. If Lamar wants to be in the loop, I mean, that's part of it too. I mean,
Lamar doesn't have to pick up the phone anymore, right? Literally.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, we're talking, and I mean, this isn't talking out of turn. Eric DaCosta's flat out said this. I mean, if Lamar wouldn't take calls and wouldn't engage with negotiating at different times over the last 2 years, I'm not saying straight through, but at different times. I mean, Eric talked about that 2 years ago. What makes you think that Lamar is even going to be all that engaged with the OC? Now, maybe he will be. Maybe Lamar will do some homework and maybe he'll say, you know what? I actually think that guy, because I watched some film of that offense and that passing game, and they emphasize this and this as far as their passing concepts. I think that would be a good fit for me. Could Lamar give that kind of input? Yeah, sure. Is Lamar going to be making the hire or being part of the actual interview? Where is he going to be sitting in? No, he's going to be in the loop as much as he wants to be in the loop. And frankly, that might not be very much. Or maybe Lamar will take an interest because maybe, and again, this is where Lamar is unique, right? We all have talked about he moves to the beat of his own drum. We've talked about that for 5 years now. And I don't mean that as a knock on him. He's a unique individual. That is what it is. That's why so many of his teammates and coaches love him. But at the same time, you know, you kind of look at this thing and, you know, how much of it was Greg Roman? How much of it was a scheme? Does the idea of a new offensive coordinator suddenly, I'm not going to say that makes him lower his asking price, but does it change things here? Does it reinvigorate him in a way that says, all right, let's talk contract? I don't know.
Lamar Jackson know about offensive coordinators? Like, he hadn't been out studying them. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, like, if you say Lamar, you bring in your OC. Well, he has no expertise in any of that. They're going to go out and find the guys, and then it's going to be about him having to work with the person or not, right? It's a person that Lamar's never met. This person, probably.
That's not what I'm suggesting, though. I'm not saying that Lamar is going to give them a lit. My idea more so of keeping him in the loop is, hey, Lamar, we're talking to these guys. You know, hey, here's what so-and-so, Brian Johnson of the Eagles, who is, you know, their quarterback's coach. You look at what Jalen Hurts has done. You look at what that offense has done. A run-first offense, but it's been wildly efficient from a passing standpoint. It's what my vision would have been for what the Ravens were from 2019 to now. Like, it would look way more like it did for the Eagles this year, but that's beside the point. And they have AJ Brown and they have Devontae Smith and great receivers, and the Ravens don't. So again, but the point is, you have someone like a Brian Johnson or, you know, any number of names that have been talked about to this point, you know, the Zach Robinson, the pass game coordinator of the Rams. You tell Lamar, hey, we're talking to this guy. You know, he's one of our candidates. We're interviewing him this week. You know, here's some film on his passing game. What do you think? And Lamar, because he's been an MVP quarterback and he's a far more adept passer than his harshest critics have ever given him credit for, could watch it and say, hey, you know, those concepts are kind of cool. I actually think, you know, like they did this and this, and I think we could, I think that would be something I could really do well. Could Lamar be involved in that way? Sure. No, he's not conducting the interview or coming up with his own list of candidates or anything like that. And again, this comes back to how involved does he want to be? Joe Flacco, we talked about this with some of the offensive coordinators that they hired in the past. You know, there were times where they talked about Joe having input, and I don't know if Joe ever really took them up on that a whole lot, quite frankly. I think it was more a case
of, you're going to do what you want to do anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And look, if that's his stance, or if that's Lamar's stance, that's fine. At the end of the day, you're the quarterback. That doesn't mean you're paid to hire, you know, you're not paid to be part of the hiring.
I just found the whole thing Thursday to just be, I mean, hilarious almost. Like, literally.
I mean, here's my, I had no problem with John saying that. I think it was the reaction to it, you know, for fans kind of getting overly excited about that.
He could have said Lamar's going to be as involved as Lamar wants to be. And then that would have just pushed him out the side, right?
And that's what the reality is. No question. I mean, they'd be foolish not to keep Lamar in the loop about it. You know, we want some feedback. Sure. Does that mean he's making the decision? No. Does that mean he's asking questions and part of the interview process? Probably not. You know, but does it serve you well to keep him in the loop if you have plans on keeping him long term? Absolutely.
By the way, this whole thing's crazy because, like, when Eric says to his agent, which is him, go shop yourself, go get your best deal, does Lamar then, as a quarterback, pick up the phone and call the GM and the ownership of the Miami Dolphins and try to and he has no idea what he's doing because this is pretty complex maneuvering and contracts and things like that. Like, these are the things I'd be talking about at the Super Bowl 2 weeks from now with really smart people and saying, like, I know how this worked for Deshaun Watson, who had an agent and there are people behind the scenes, but who's going to do this when he's out running wind sprint with kids and throwing footballs in March, trying to be a $50 million a year quarterback? Like, all of this is really, really tricky dicky to me. It really is.
It is. I mean, that's why, and this is where Dennis and I talked about this a good bit last week. You know, this is where I kind of present the idea of using the non-exclusive franchise tag. Why? To force action one way or the other, right? Ravens are dug in. Don't want to give Lamar a fully guaranteed deal. Everything even though he's never said it directly, publicly, every understanding is Lamar wants a fully guaranteed deal or a deal that's nearly fully guaranteed at the very least, right? I mean, that's not talking out of turn. I think that's obvious. That's evident after how the last 10 months have played out. So for me, you look at the non-exclusive tag. You know, what does that mean? You know, it's a higher cap number. No, he can't negotiate with anyone else, but what's going to change? If you've been at the same impasse for this long, what's going to change at this point? Unless Lamar has a change of heart or the Ravens have had a change of heart, you're still at the same spot. Even if you use the non-exclusive tag, it just means no one else can negotiate.
I think they're further dug in because Lamar's, you can't win without me and I'm healthy and I'll get a deal. And the Ravens are, you weren't here in January. We don't like your agent. You know, like all of that, right. we don't like the uncertainty. We like certainty around here, and this is too much dust and smoke around this for us. And there's and it's too rich for our blood. We're out, you know. Right. And I can see Steve is saying, "I got a $5 billion company. Some hurt feelings among some fans and media. Fine, we'll be fine. Take the draft picks, Eric. You know, like that's it."
But then on the flip side, if you're truly, sincerely still wanting to get a long-term deal done, but you have no idea how to go about doing it, it's where I've thought, do you, and this would be risky because you run the risk of another team signs him to an offer sheet that you, I don't want to say can't, you won't match, and then he's gone and you get two first-round picks, which is on the underwhelming end of the return. However, if you're truly wanting to get something worked out long-term, something has to give, right? Someone has to realize that they're wrong here. So you let Lamar negotiate with other teams. And this goes back to what you just said a couple minutes ago. How does that process go for him?
By the way, Lamar's not wrong. He's going to get more money from somebody else than from him. That's what he thinks. Well, and he's right. He's right.
Well, I mean, so you think someone would give him a fully guaranteed deal?
I think somebody will give him more money than the Ravens will give him.
And okay,
I think
that
under that would make them the prettier girl to a 25-year-old kid.
Fair enough.
What they've done's not good enough to get him on the field 2 weeks ago, to get him at a press, to get him doing what they want him to do. To your point, he walks to his own. He's his own guy, right? I think they need a $50 million a year guy to be their guy, not his own guy. Okay. And that's where that's Steve's management to me. And I just have bad juju about all that. I think he's gone. And I think assessing it from the outside and watching everyone's reaction to all of this and watching the last 8 months and knowing how Harbaugh felt about him not showing up at OTAs last year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a kiss and make up. That's my opinion on it. So then it's to your point, what are we going to do about it? What would maximize it? And what would maximize it is say, your agent calls around and you go get your best deal and we'll get our best deal and we'll make it. He doesn't have that. He didn't even have that. I don't even know how they're going to get their best deal, right?
Well,
be your point to get the two number ones.
Well, and that's, see, what you lay out to me, that's the argument for just doing the exclusive, right? You know, because you don't want this to be a case where someone signs onto an offer sheet and you just say, all right, that's it. And you only get your two first round picks. To me, that would be the argument for the exclusive, even though it's a higher cap number, but then it's completely controlled by the Ravens. Other than just Lamar, what teams do you want to go to? And you work out the compensation and then Lamar talks to that team and works out a contract, right? Again, easier said than done based on how this process has worked, based on your point. My argument for the non-exclusive was much more to be, okay, let Lamar see what his value is. We've said over and over that we're not giving him a fully guaranteed deal. We've said over and over, Steve Bisciotti said this publicly at the owners' meetings down in Florida last spring, that no, you know, that what the Browns did and what Jimmy Haslam did was so off the mark of how the rest of the league does business. And he wasn't wrong at the time, but if you feel that much conviction about it, then that means you don't think any other team's going to give Lamar a fully guaranteed deal. So what you do is, Lamar, go out and see what you're worth. And you still...
I don't know if it's fully guaranteed. I think it's more money, just more guaranteed money, not fully guaranteed money. I mean, maybe nobody will do that, but they'll guarantee 85% of it and get him to $198 million guaranteed when the Ravens are waving $130 million, and that sounds like $60 million, and that sounds like if I break my leg, I get $60 million more. And by the way, the last 2 years, I almost broke my leg. So, like, I think Lamar's looking out for Lamar. I mean, and as he should. And the Ravens are looking out for the Ravens, and I don't think if that were kumbaya, we'd know by now he'd have a deal, right?
Oh, sure. I mean, people that want to continue to say that, oh, you know, they're committed to each other. You heard, I mean, they would have had a deal 18 months ago if that was the case.
Like every other franchise does with its franchise quarterback.
So, but again, just to finish my thought, and again, I'm not saying I expect this to happen. This is just me spitballing. This is scrimmaging it. If you're in a position where you're at an impasse, but you still want to work something out long term, that would be a way of letting him go see it. And you know what? Maybe he gets his feelings hurt. Maybe he realized what the Ravens are offering is very much in line with what other teams would offer. And maybe
that happened to Ray Lewis.
I was just going to say, now, different point in his career, an inside linebacker compared to a quarterback. I mean, it's apples to oranges. But if you truly still want to get a long-term deal done, something's got to give. So is that the way to go about doing it, where it gives him a chance to go out and maybe part of it is also, hey, this negotiating thing and trying to talk with other teams. And, you know, Eric's actually, you know, maybe he hasn't given me as much money as I thought, but it's been fairly, you know, direct in how we've talked about it compared to dealing with six other teams at the, I mean, I don't know. Again, I'm not saying that that's what happens. I'm not saying that that's the best thing necessarily, but you've been at the same impasse, and what's going to be different now? I mean, to your point, there's a very strong argument that both sides are dug in even harder than they were before, because Lamar saw how bad the offense stunk without him at the end of the season. And the Ravens are saying, well, we didn't want to give him a fully guaranteed deal after he missed the first season at, you know, the end of the season in 21. Now it's happened 2 years in a row, so we're certainly not going to do it now. So it's tough. It's messy. I feel like you and I were kind of talking in circles here. That's what they're doing, because it's messy and this is tough. And you have this unbelievable talent. And let's be clear about that. This is a heck of a quarterback, and they've won a lot of games. But when you're at this impasse and you're talking about where he's been, you look at where he's been health-wise the last couple of years, talking about everything we were talking about in our previous segment with Josh Allen and the Bills, and, you know, Joe Burrow and the Bengals having to pay him sooner rather than later. When you're talking about a monster contract, it makes things that much more difficult moving forward. You have far less room to make mistakes. And, know, if you're talking about availability of your quarterback being a question, that doesn't mean I'm saying that that means I'm not signing him, but you've got to at least have that part of the conversation, right? I mean, it's, you know, that's part of it. So it's just, it's messy. It's messy. And I'll go back to what we were talking about at the end of the season, as it pertained to how hurt was Lamar in reality compared to reports that were being leaked out, presumably from the team, because Lamar doesn't have an agent to leak to the media. So we assume every time Schefter or Ian Rappaport or, you know, Rich Eisen talking about a production meeting, even every time they were talking about Lamar being that close to playing, that was coming from the team. Now, maybe that was all gamesmanship. Maybe that was all competitive advantage that you were trying to play against your next opponent. Maybe that's all it was. And maybe they told Lamar that deep, you know, behind closed doors. But Lamar's tweet, him talking about his up, you know, updating his medical status, his injury status and the specifics of it.
After not, talking HIPAA.
That did not suggest that the Ravens behind closed doors were telling Lamar that, hey, we're just doing this to give the
it
the
is
Browns.
Felt very aggressive from the outside. I'm not on the inside. I'm not in the know, but I don't feel like I even need to be in the know on this one. I smell it. I saw it at the press conference last week. I think winds of change are blowing at the quarterback position in Owings Mills. That's my opinion.
I'm not going to argue with you.
And the Ravens have done a lot of things. They've never dealt the franchise quarterback away. They've had so many happy players here. In recent years, they've had a lot of unhappy players, including Hayden Hurst, who's much happier playing this week in Kansas City than he would be here saying, why is Lamar not playing? So, Luke, we'll get after it. We're going to get after John Angelos, the Orioles, the playoffs, the championship game. We ain't even gotten after the Philadelphia Eagles because we may be stuck talking about them for 2 weeks, next couple weeks, if they win, much to the enjoyment and pleasure of your brother-in-law. But Luke can be found at Baltimore Luke. We will continue to monitor all this. If there's any breaking news, you'll get it first on the WNST Tech Service. That's all brought to you by Coons Baltimore 4. Dennis will be here on Thursday from 3 until 5, driving you home, getting you ready on Sunday for two championship games. Eagles 49ers, see how that turns out. And of course, the Cincinnati Bengals going back out to Kansas City, take on Patrick Mahomes. And his ankle is the there's your $50 million a year question right there. How's Patrick Mahomes' ankle this week? I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.